We thank you, Lord God, because we know, as it was said, that where two or more are gathered, you are there in the midst. And we just thank you that you are here with us this evening in a time of worship, in a time of fellowship, in a time of sitting at your feet and learning of you, of your grace and your mercy and your glory and your peace and your rest. We just thank you for this time that we can come and we can learn more of you. We pray that you would just open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears to hear what you have for us this evening. Give us hearts that have been softened to receive that it may plant and grow and become what you would have of it. We just lift this evening to you. Be glorified in all that takes place. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to churn through a fair number of scriptures tonight. But I'm going to start kind of with a question, a couple of things to think of that'll get us moving along the way. If I said, how many people are tired? I'd raise my hand. How many people are spiritually tired? Who here tonight allows the cares and the concerns, the busyness, the work, the church, the family, the life, the fun, to zap them, to make us exhausted at times, even sad or sorrowful from all that we engage in? When this happens, what do? Who sometimes feel like their brain is on nonstop mode? That's me. Feels like the brain is just going. You go to bed at night and the brain's just churning. You get up in the morning and it's still going. Because there's always something to do next. There's always something else that's got to happen. So your brain just continues to churn through that. And I said all of the above. That's me. So tonight, a lot I talked to Barb leading up to this. This is for me. But I believe it's not always just for me. It's going to be for a couple of you as well. We're going to look, like I said, at quite a few scriptures tonight. I'm encouraged from what I've looked over, and I'm hoping that you will be as well. So let's dive into our first scripture that we will look at, and that's going to be Psalm 4, 5 through 8. You can try and churn. We're going to be in the Psalms for a little bit, I'm not going to spend a ton of time on each of these, so it might be easier just to kind of look on the screen, but feel free to jot them down. I can give you the list later on, and you can follow along the best you can if you want to dig through your Bibles for it too. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. When we're feeling overwhelmed at those times, when these cares and concerns of the world seem to be more than we can bear, when our hearts are and our heads are overloaded, and our heads feel like they're ready to explode, and our hearts are troubled with all that's going on in our lives and those things around us, do we put our trust in the Lord? So often we say that we do, but do we? Do I put my trust in the Lord? Or do I trust in Kevin to truck on through, to make it through to the next day, to get the next item done, whether it's here or at the bowling alley or at home or wherever it may be? Do we remember, as it says, he puts gladness in our hearts, not us. He puts gladness in our hearts. He will lift up the light of his countenance upon me and upon you. And when we lie down, we can lie down in peace and sleep. This is his word. This is what can happen for us. And this peace is a completeness, a soundness of welfare, peace, quiet, tranquility, contentment. So often, that's not my night when I'm going to bed. But it says here that I can have that. But we need to remember that it's not by our power. It's not by my power, but his. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. It's him and him alone. We look a little further at Psalm 55, verses 3 through 7. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. And then verse 22 and 23, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. So again, how often do we allow the cares and concerns of the world to burden us? Allow the things that are going on around us to weigh us down. Our hearts can be pained. It's almost like the terror of death is upon us. And we are fearful of what's coming next. We're worried about what's around the corner, what we have on our plate that we have to get taken care of next. This is David speaking, and this is how he felt. This is a man after God's own heart, and he felt this way. But it didn't stay there. What does it say? So I said, verse 6 and 7, oh, that I had the wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. So do we allow ourselves to be at rest? Do we allow ourselves to wander away from the stuff that burdens us and go into the wilderness to that peace and that quiet, that tranquility, where we can allow the Lord to unburden us? Verse 22 and 23 says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. So we fly away and rest, cast our burdens upon him. Who will sustain us? He will. He will sustain in all of us his righteous ones. We will stand firm. We won't be moved, but I will trust in you. When all these things around us are going on, the busyness, the work, the play, the fun, the life, the whatever it is, do we remember him? And I ask myself this because I think so often I say that I do, but I don't. Do we remember him in the midst of it all? Can we fly away and find the rest and say, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the stuff, regardless of life, but I will trust in you, Lord? Not just say, but it's believe it. When we say, I will trust in you, with all the stuff that's going on around, is it just words, or do we truly believe? Do we truly trust in him and lay it at his feet? Psalm 127, verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. And I thought, wow, is this so many of us? What do? We get up early in the morning, right? We stay up late. We toil at our work, our fun, our lives, our stuff. And what do? We do all this stuff and we sit up late. And how does it feel? Sometimes it can feel like you're eating that bread of sorrows because you're exhausted. You've just got up and all you do is go, 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 go all day long. And at the end, a lot of times we have nothing to show for it. And we're beaten. We're down. We're out. We're sad and we're sorrowful. And we will get up again, and what do we do tomorrow? We just do it again. Some of you ask me, we talk and we go, how are you doing? How's things going? And so for some of you, I'll tell you how things are going. I say, I'm up early. I go to work. I go to bowling alleys, I go on bus rides, I go to hotels, and then I go to more bowling alleys, and then I call bowling recruits, and then I come back here, and I rinse and repeat, and rinse and repeat, and rinse and repeat, and it's exhausting. And I tell everybody, I'm not upset, I'm not unhappy, I like what I do, but it's tiring. It wears on you after a while. And I feel worn out. But again, for so he gives his beloved sleep. He can give us rest if I go to him, if I put my trust in him. So it's another one of these things. We see all these verses. Do I remember these things? when I'm exhausted after a bus ride and having been in a bowling alley for 7 hours and in a 5-hour bus ride home and having gotten up at 6 o'clock that morning? Do I remember that He gives me rest? Do I trust in Him with all the things that are going to happen the rest of the week? Do I remember this? Do I remember that He gives me rest and sleep? Psalm 37, 4 through 7. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. So again, in the midst of the hustle and the bustle of our everyday lives, do we delight ourselves in the Lord? I ask if we trust in the Lord, but do we delight ourselves in the Lord? I know so often that I don't. Why? Because I'm busy and I'm burdened with stuff, with things that are happening. In the midst of all this hustle and bustle, do we commit our way to the Lord? Do we get up in the morning and commit the day to Him? We may get up and we may throw up a prayer while we're taking the shower or in the car, but how often do I really, really commit the day to Him? Do I really commit our way to Him, my way to Him? If we can delight in Him, if we can commit our ways to Him and trust, He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. So during our busyness of our days, does our light shine? Or are we too wrapped up in our busyness? We're too busy going about our stuff, worried about the next thing around the corner is, that our light doesn't even shine. I know that I think of that so often, and I almost want to say I don't know what to do, because I know my light's not shining. And it should. And I've told Pastor Bill, that's why I'm coaching young college ladies and men, so my light can shine. But so often, I'm so busy, I'm so harried, and there's so many things going on that my light's not shining. So what I need to do, I need to commit my way to Him. In the morning, in the night, before I leave here and head to the bowling alley in an hour and a half, so that I can be a light and I can reflect Him in all that I say and do. The big one for me, maybe not so for you, but for me, this is one of the big ones. Do we fret over those around us and say, woe is me? Do we get discouraged when the wicked schemes come to pass? Do we look around again that everything's happening and we wonder, why is it me that's exhausted? They look fine, they look happy, they look like everything's cheery, and you know that they're not, maybe not Christians, but you just see what's going on in their lives and you look at them. But then it goes, are we trusting in Him? Are we resting in Him? Another one we all know so well, Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we've heard this one so often. We've taught it. If we've taught Sunday school, if we've taught the juniors, we may have taught it here. We've heard it at funerals. We've maybe done it at a funeral. It's one scripture that all of us know. But as with the others that we've touched on already this evening, have we really read it? Have we allowed the words to sink in? If we truly know it, then shouldn't we apply it? Shouldn't we apply it on a daily basis? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's our shepherd. He's leading us. He's guiding us. We shouldn't want. How often in our busy days do we allow Him to be our shepherd? Or are we our own shepherd, off wanting, off trying to figure it out? Usually my mind is racing, and I'm wanting something, because I haven't let Him be my shepherd. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Again, do we allow this? Do we allow him to restore our souls? Do we even give him the chance to do that? Do we let him make those green pastures for us to lie down in? Do we follow him beside the still waters? Or are we those proverbial, I say, headless chickens running to and fro? And so often you look at these pictures and what are they? The meadow, the peaceful stream. It's peace, it's quiet, it's rest. And it's all in him, with him, through him, and by him. And we know these things. But again, how often do we reflect on them? Are we being led on a path of righteousness for his namesake? Or are we blazing our own trail with our tails on fire? Like I believe a lot of us are so often. And why do we do that? Because we're worried and concerned about all that's going on around us, or a lot of time, what's going on in here. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Our daily lives can feel like the valley of the shadow of death sometimes, with everything that's happening. Do we fear? Do we fear evil? Don't we remember? For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Do we forget these things? Again, I know I do. Why don't I remember them? Why don't I think on these things when it feels like everything's crashing around me? For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The fact he is with us should give us comfort. And again, how quickly we forget. We sometimes feel like we're surrounded by life, by tasks, by this and by that. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I look at this as when we feel surrounded, when we feel like we're trapped on every side by everything that's going on, and it could be your thoughts, it could be tasks, it could be real things that have to happen, and we feel overwhelmed. We feel surrounded. We feel surrounded by the enemy. When this happens, do we get that during our struggles, what's happening? He's prepared a table for us. He anoints your head with oil, and your cup runneth over. And in that, we can find peace, and we can find rest in him. No matter where we are, no matter what's going on, no matter what's stirring inside the noggin we have on top, we can find peace, and we can find rest as he prepares a table for us. And then surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Another one, do we recognize this? His goodness and mercy will follow us. Follow us all the days of our lives. It's always there. It's always there. We also will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How many of us work around here like this is our eternal home? We work day in, day out, like this is the be-all, end-all. This is not where we're going to dwell forever. This is not where we're going to be forever. But so often, we forget. We get caught up into the toils and trials and the busyness of everyday life. In the midst of all our busyness, we forget that he's our shepherd. He restores us. During all our stuff, he comforts us. Surrounded by our enemies and our thoughts, he prepares a place for us. Goodness and mercy will follow you. We will dwell in his house forever. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. That's pretty straightforward. Is our mind stayed on him? When we get up in the morning, is it stayed on him? When we go to bed at night, is it stayed on him? During the day when we're fretting and struggling, is it stayed on him? Mine is usually, again, on me and my troubles and my worries and what I have to do tomorrow, next week, the following week, and the next month, and the beginning of next bowling season, and the tournaments next year. That's what it is. My mind's not stayed on him, but it needs to be. How about you? Do we trust him? We say so, but again, do our daily actions as we walk around and as we do our things and our stuff, does it show that? Does it show that we trust? Does it show that our mind is stayed upon him? If I allow my mind to be stayed on him, if we allow If I allow myself to trust him, he will keep us in perfect peace. And he, the Lord, will be our everlasting strength. Now we're going to look at a couple of New Testament items. Mark 6, 31, 32. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat, so they departed to a deserted place in a boat by themselves. This is just after the beheading of John the Baptist. The disciples come to Jesus after laying John in a tomb. They come to Jesus telling him all the things that have been transpiring, what they had done and what they had taught. And this is the verse following all of that. So what I wonder is, do we come to Jesus telling him all things? In the midst of our work, during tragedy, while in mourning, while busy, while stressed, do we come to him and tell him what's going on in our lives? Most times not. But if we do, and when we do, what does Jesus offer the disciples? And he said unto them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat." It was so busy with people coming and going to see the disciples, to see Jesus, that they couldn't even get a bite to eat. So how often do our days feel like that? And the Lord may say to you, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest and eat. So they departed to a deserted place in a boat by themselves. And all our hustle and bustle, our crisis and catastrophe, our joys and our sorrows, and certainly our busyness, do we come to Jesus allowing him to say, "Come aside, eat, rest for a while"? Again, I don't. I just barrel on through, just charge on through to the next thing. I don't wait. Maybe I ought to listen. Maybe after tonight I'll listen at least a little bit, and I'll come aside and I'll rest. And again, how about you? Matthew 11, 28 through 30. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Another one we all know very, very well. Do we labor? Again, do we feel like we're heavily laden with, again, the cares and concerns and what we're doing on a daily basis? When we need that rest, do we come to him? Again, I don't. I then just trudge on through. Why don't I come to him? It says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." That's the way I feel on a daily basis. Why do I not go to him? Why do I just continue to move along? If you're like me, you will toil and work under your own heavy burden. You'll struggle for the time, the ability, the strength, and the sleep, and you'll find very little rest. You might sleep, but you won't find rest. Drop your own yoke, put on his. Learn from him, from the gentle one, the merciful one, the Prince of Peace. We know he is gentle and lowly of heart. Yet we want to do everything in our own strength. We want to have our own yokes on. We want to carry our own burdens. We want to exhaust ourselves. If only we would take up his yoke, we could find rest for our souls. And oh, how many of us need rest for our souls? His yoke is easy, his burden is light. Do we really want to continue on our own? Why do we? Hebrews 4, 9 through 16. "There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we were, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in the time of need. Are we not people of God? Therefore, there is rest for us. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent, that's us, let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. So what I really get from here is this is almost a command, that we're commanded to enter his rest. We must also be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Rest is something that we need to do. This is a rest that's special for God's people. This is not a rest that all of the other world can get. This is something for us that he has special for us, that we can rest in him. Why then so often do we continue again in our stuff, in our trials, in our tribulations, in our hecticness, when we need rest? And we're told here, we need to be diligent to enter the rest. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. No creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom he must give an account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our conviction. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We're all going to give an account of these lives that we live, but we have our high priest Jesus, and he understands and he can sympathize with our weakness, with our frailties. He can sympathize with the fact that we run around daily like those chickens with their heads cut off. He sees what we're struggling with. He was tempted in all ways, yet sinned not. Jesus, our high priest, he knows what we're going through. And it's not that we're necessarily sinning on a daily basis, but he understands the trials of life and the daily struggles of our lives. With this, are we really going to come boldly to the throne of grace? That's what I get from the bottom there. That we may find mercy and grace in the time of need. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So many of us are tired and exhausted, and both spiritually and physically. Do we come boldly to the throne of grace? When we get up in the morning, we go to lay our head at night, do we come boldly to the throne of grace going, Lord, I need help. I'm tired. I need you to help me, to show me what to do next. I have a list that's this long, and I know the order it has to be done in, and that's all that I can think of. Can you give me rest? Can you help my mind to stop for a minute? Do we do that? Or do we just push on through the exhaustion and just continue to try and do it on our own? He knows all our failings, all our shortcomings, all of our struggles. So why don't we go boldly? John 16, 32 and 33. Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father was with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. And in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Here his hour of death was near, another area we know very well. The disciples, his friends, they would be scattered and they would scatter, and he would be alone. But as Jesus said, he would be alone, but he wouldn't be alone because the Father would be with him. And what's said next? This chapter is Jesus speaking of his coming death. He tells them many things as the end draws near. He says, I'm telling you these things that what? That you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Even when Jesus was alone, he wasn't actually alone. The Father was with him. And one of the things spoken of prior to this in this chapter was the coming of the Comforter, of the Holy Spirit. When we're in the midst of it, when we're feeling all alone, when we're weary and burdened, do Do we remember that in me, in him, we may have peace? Do we remember that he truly has overcome the world? Again, these are all scriptures that we've heard, we've seen, and I ask myself this, why don't I think of these things on a daily basis? Why don't I think of them on a weekly basis even? How about a monthly basis? We've heard them. We've heard some of them. We've heard them since we're kids. We've heard them since we've become saved. And yet we get up and we toil away on our own. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Another one we all know. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. When we're anxious and we're wound up, what's our first move? Do we go to him? Do we look at this and say, we don't need to be anxious for anything? And then we think back, is this our home? Is this where we're going to be at the end of all time? No. Why do we not remember? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds. We need to remember that. I need to remember that, as again, with all these other verses we've seen, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. So when we're anxious in the morning, when we're worried about what's happening the next day, when we're worried about what's happening with work, with this, with that, and our brain's running, can we allow the peace of God which surpasses all understanding to guard our hearts and our minds? When our world is falling apart, when we're harried and we're rushed and we're fretting, our brains are on overload, ready to explode, and all we have to do and fix, and finally, he lists out all these things, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report. If there's any virtue, meditate on these things. So much of what we've looked at tonight, we know. Do we meditate on those things? Do we think on those things? Again, so many of these are scriptures we've heard over and over and over again. Why do we not think on these things? Why do we not meditate on these? The scriptures that we've read and heard. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. We meditate on those things, we do them, we listen, we learn, and the God of peace is with us. Matthew 6, 30 through 34. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Along with what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear, I'll add, what shall I fix, what should I buy, where should I go, what should I do? How many of us are worried about thinking about tomorrow? How many of us get here on a Wednesday night and our brains immediately go to what we have to do tomorrow morning, what we have to do this weekend, what's going on at whether it's work or home life or whatever? What are we seeking after so often too? What are we seeking after so often in life? Are we seeking after stuff? Are we seeking after our work? Are we seeking after our hobbies? Are we seeking after just a life? For all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God. So how often do we seek that first? Or do we go there when everything else is crashing? We might go there. But that's where we should be going first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Does that mean all of our worries and cares will go away? Absolutely not. They'll still be there. But maybe our mind will be settled that little tiny bit. Maybe we'll have that little bit of rest, that little bit of peace. And then, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And this reminds me of one of our favorite phrases that we use for our bowling athletes. We call it stay in the moment. And that is, we don't worry about the past. When they throw a bad shot, it's we don't worry about the past. We don't worry about what we need to do to get the next big game. We don't need to worry about what we need to do to get the win. We don't worry about what happened that made us lose the last game. We worry about this shot, the next shot. And I get that from here. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about what's ahead of you today. Today. It's not what could have, what should have, what will be, or what might be, but just now. This is what we're hearing for us as believers. There's enough going on right now, today. So let's focus on that and get through that, and then we'll let tomorrow deal with itself when it comes. We don't need to fix it. How many of you right now can fix what's supposed to happen tomorrow right now? And how many of us will sit there and think on it over and over and over of how we can do it, and it's not even here yet? And by the time tomorrow comes, it may not even be a problem anymore. But you've already solved it in your head, or halfway there. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Our last verse. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. So again, do we remember daily who cares for us? In our craziness and our daily grind with our overflowing minds, who handles your cares? I know what I do, and I know what I should do. I handle my cares. I handle my concerns. But what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to hand them over. I'm supposed to cast them off. Allow Him to carry them for me. Why do we not follow the things that we know to be true? Why do I not follow the things that I know to be true? How much stress could be relieved by just following this one verse? Just this one. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. If that was the only thing we thought of in the morning when we got up, Lord, I'm going to cast the cares of the day on You. I'm going to cast the worries and cares of yesterday on You. You help me. You care for me in and through this. Maybe it's time. Maybe tonight, maybe now. So in wrapping up, when we're feeling tired, when we're feeling tired and overwhelmed, He has put gladness in my heart. We can both lie down in peace and sleep. When we are weighed down by burdens, we cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. In the midst of chaos, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as light. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Another one. Can we just remember that one? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is truth. Can we think on this in the middle of our busy days when we're about to overflow ourselves, that His goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, and this is not our eternal home. We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When stuff overwhelms us, where is our mind? You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. We know who our mind should be stayed on. Why do we not do that? Are we listening when He gently says, like He did to the disciples, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while? When He tells us that, do we hear that? When cares and concerns, life, busyness burdens us, where can we find rest? He says, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the help of time of need. When we're exhausted and tired and burdened, do we remember that there is rest for us? Do we come boldly to that throne of grace seeking that rest? When all feels as if it's crashing down, we're being buried by whatever, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because who has overcome the world? I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. Remember who has overcome the world on your behalf. When we can't let go, when we're struggling to stay afloat, worried about what will take place next, we hear, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, not might guard your heart, not may guard your heart, it will guard your heart. So tomorrow morning, when we get up and we're anxious and we're worried, it says we shouldn't be anxious. What do we do? By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, we let our request be known to God. And what happens? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Why fret over yesterday, tomorrow, what needs to be finished, and what is yet to come? For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. Let him sort it out. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Stay in the moment. Lastly, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. We don't have to do this alone. We're not alone. So the takeaway from tonight, God is pretty awesome. He's here for you. He's here to carry your burden. He's here to give you rest. He's here to take away anxiety. When we get caught up in life and in ourselves, in struggles, who is here? He is. Who wants to help? Who wants to comfort? Who wants to carry? Who cares for you and who died for you? Jesus. The Lord is here. All these scriptures tonight, and so many we know, and we know very, very well. We know them very, very well. God is here for you. The Lord is with you. The Spirit indwells you. Will we come to him? Will we go to him tonight, tomorrow, the next day, next week? Will we come and find peace? Will we come and find rest? I want that. I need that. Do you need that? Let's pray. Lord, we come humbly before your throne of grace. Allow us to cast our cares upon you. Allow us to unburden ourselves with the yoke we've made of our own and take on yours. Lord God, work in and through our hearts. For all that you would have us to receive from the word this night, Lord God, I pray that you might grant us peace, that you might grant us rest, that you would help us to go away to a deserted place so that we can find rest in you. Lord God, do this work, do this mighty work in us. May we find peace and grace and rest in you. We lift this evening to you in Jesus' name. Amen.